Open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts. Lord, we want to know Jesus.
Pray that you will bless us.
And help us to open our ears in Jesus' name.
Well, nice to see you all here today. I must let you into a, well, it's not a secret, but I'll let you into something. Sorry, I am supposed to stay, so you might have to put it on a wide shot in. Me and Debbie, my wife, have started swimming at Red Car Pool. We've even joined up, so I'm tied in now, I can't get out of it. If we make an appointment, £4 to cancel. So, yes, exactly. So, I go Monday and Fridays at 7:30 in the morning. I know. Which means I've got to get up about 6:45. Never mind. And I've also bought a bike off the church warden. So I don't have to drive there. I can cycle there. It's not far from our house to the swim bath, is it? My legs are killing me at the end of it. And you can't believe it, I tell you. There's swimming and there's yoga. I haven't tried any yoga, but Debbie has. There's a sauna. And there's a gym. But let me tell you this, can you believe it? When I walked in there, I was a bit scared going in at first, because, you know, I haven't got the body I used to have. Hey, it's not that bad. No, I ain't got the body I used to have. And I thought, I'm going to go in here, and there's going to be loads of really hunky guys and wonderful, and I'm going to feel a bit out of place. And when I went in, I saw some people there. They were completely out of shape, like me. Can you believe it? A place is about fitness, and people come jiggling in there. What a set of hypocrites. Or maybe that's why the place exists. People sometimes say that about church, don't they? Holier than thou, people. People are scared to come into church because they think everyone's perfect. And if someone drops something, if someone actually comes, you know, does something wrong, they say, you've got a church, don't you? Hypocrite. I was once sat at work before I became a vicar, and somebody told a joke, and it was a funny joke. It wasn't a blue joke, it was slightly off colour perhaps, but it wasn't that bad. And I laughed my head off and he said, what are you laughing for? And I said, what do you mean, what am I laughing for? He said, well, you're a Christian, hypocrite. Not a lot of laugh at a joke. But maybe the swimming pool is a bit like church. Maybe that's the point of a church, to get... We're all sinners, just like everyone else. We're all trying to lead better lives. All trying to live how God wants us to live. There are some people, when I go to school, that are really fit. Not everyone's jiggling in. Some are rippling in. You know what I mean? I'll be like that one day. In my dreams, if miracles happen. Some people were fit though, looking, and they'd come in and they'd have the little skinny goggles on. I go in the slow lane. There's three lanes, the slow, medium, and fast, where the fast people go. I'm the slow. Just like church, there's some people in church that have been walking close to the Lord for years. They should be and are quite often the fit ones, the ones that come to stuff and help stuff and work and do all. They're the fit ones. But you know, there's a lot of us in church that, you know, just come rolling in like the people that come jiggling in at a swimming pool, wanting to grow a little bit. Church is for everyone.
whoever you are. Who are you like in the swimming pool of church? Are you wanting to get fitter? I remember when I first decided to swim. I thought, you know what, it's about time I learned to swim. So I thought, I'm going to buy the book and learn to swim in a weekend. Fantastic. And so I got into the book, I started reading it. And this book's got everything in it. It's fantastic. Tells you what gear to buy. I bought all the gear. The goggles. Not a lot to buy, actually. The mankini. I sort of made a bit of an error there, and they kicked me back out. No, I got my trunks and my rubber rings in case I drowned it, and everything. Optional, the goggles, which I found out later was optional, and towel, which isn't optional, unless you're just going to drip dry forever. And I got everything, and I read about all the different strokes. What's your favourite stroke? There's what? Breaststroke. Or sometimes if you're clever. Breaststroke. There's of course front crawl. Or if you're clever. How do people do that without sucking in a load of what? And then there was back crawl. I quite like back crawl because you can just look at the ceiling and just float, really. And the other one, who invented this one? Which idiot invented that? Oh, it even hurts to do it. Butterflies
aren't known for swimming.
And I've learned all the rules. There are some brilliant rules. This first slide here is a rule, a thing that wrote when I was a kid. Do you remember this one? Dear. You're not allowed, or will patrons kindly refrain from running, pushing, gymnastics, shouting, ducking, petting. Who wants to bring their hamster to the swimming baths? Bombing,
swimming in a diving area, and smoking.
Guess what, when I was a kid, me and my mates used to do? We used to try and do all of them. And then there's more modern rules. Let's have a look at the ones up to date.
There's a lot of them. You've got to use the stairs. You're not allowed to drink.
I drink about 3 pints when I'm swimming. Of swimming bath water. No food. It'd get wet, wouldn't it? Have you ever tried to eat a burger while you're swimming? It don't work. No smoking. You can't even light it, really. No littering, don't shout again, no pets, no petting. Now, you can pet all you like, but you can't bring them. Debbie gave me a right slap across my face. No diving, don't run, don't swim alone, no rough play, and the best one, no peeing in the pool. Yeah. No peeing in the pool. We won't
say anything more about that, children. No peeing in the pool, children. And I learned them all off by heart. So I'd learned what clothes to wear from this book,
and I'd learned what strokes to do, and I'd learned all the rules after that weekend. I obviously, after reading that book, learned to swim. And I hadn't even had to get wet. I'd learned it all. And didn't even have to get it. Do you think that was enough?
Why? I'd learned it all from a book. Why wasn't enough? Tell me. Go on, tell me. Somebody tell me. I didn't get wet. If I'd have jumped in the water, I sank like a stone. What should he have really done to learn to swim? Hold on a minute. Where's my microphone? I'm going to get these kids talking. It's the end of my life. Right. Hello. What should I have done in order to learn to swim? What could he have done? Practiced. Brilliant. To actually get in the water in the shallow end and then start practicing to swim. And then I could be a Mark Spitz. You have to do what? Oh. Well, I have got better since I started to learn to swim. Jesus, and we had a great sermon last week about doubts. Wasn't that good last week when Stephen was talking about doubts? And now it's okay to have doubts. And that doubts are part of us. And that this guy called Thomas was the biggest doubter of them all. And Thomas and his disciples were doubting, well, really mainly Thomas, about the resurrection, about faith in action. And let me find my thing that I've lost. Oh, we've all lost it now. Here we are. And this is a quote from a book that I was reading this week. Jesus' response to the not quite believing... If you weren't here last week, Jesus had come to the disciples in the upper room and Thomas wasn't there. And so Thomas, when they told him afterwards, Thomas said, "Nah, don't believe that, don't believe it." And Jesus then came a week later, which is what we're in today, and this is his response to Thomas. Thomas's response to the not quite believe, Jesus's response to the not quite believing Thomas is, "Reach out and touch me. Try me out. Look at the evidence. Put your finger in here." The icky bit. "Put your finger in there. Probe me and search. Look at the evidence. I know you think this is impossible, incredible, but find out for yourself that it's true. Stop doubting, Thomas, and believe." This is not a theoretical story made up of ideas and hopefulness. It's rather historical, made out of solid rock, observational story. It actually did happen. Bodily, Jesus was alive again. It's tangible. You can feel its authenticity. You can reach out and touch its truthfulness. Who could have made it up and imagined it? It's a "this is what really happened" eyewitness story. Jesus even said, "Listen, give me some fish to eat. Ghosts don't eat fish. Ghosts don't eat anything. Give me some fish and I will show you it's real. This is my body, which has risen." You can reach out and touch its truthfulness. Right, here's my final illustration. Who wants to do this? Are we any other children? Or we've just got some right at the back. Come here. Right, it's easy, this one. Right, what I want you to do, how many eggs are in this?
Two.
Two. I assure, there is only one egg in this box. There's only one egg. Right, pick the egg that you think's real and touch it. Don't drop it because it is real. Right? Pick the egg you think's not real. Go on then, drop it. Boing! Brilliant! Thank you. Put it back in there. There's another egg there. Oh, I didn't know two of you were going to come. Come see me, I'm going to give you another egg. Okay, brilliant. Thank you. Give him a round of applause. Well done. Wait, the only way they could find out, really, I mean, this is looking a bit mucky now, but it does look like an egg, doesn't it? The only way to find out was to touch it and feel it, wasn't it? You can feel that's an egg. No, I'll tell you what, shall I crack on your egg? No, go sit down. Brilliant. The only way sometimes is to find out if something's real or not, is to reach out and touch it. And Jesus says, Thomas, reach out and touch me. See if I'm real. Actually, Jesus said, Thomas, blessed are those who can't reach out and touch me and see if I'm real. He's talking about you there. He's talking about me, because this happened 2,000 years ago. So what ways can we reach out and touch people? God, I mean. What way can we reach out and touch God? Anybody give any ideas how we might do it? If we can't do it like Thomas, how might we be able to do it? Prayer. Brilliant. Anything else? Read your Bible. Anything else? We were talking the other day about seeing God in the creation. When you're looking at a beautiful scene. Wow, praise God, what a scene. You can see God in creation. You can see God in prayer, hear God in prayer. You can see God in others and in the work that others do. There are loads of ways to find out about God. Reading the Bible, praying, all this. Coming to church. Basically, what it gets down to is, if you want to learn how to be a Christian, if you want to get fit as a Christian, you've got to dive in and you've got to jump in, no bombing. There's sometimes too many rules in churches. You've got to get in the water and swim. That's the only way to find out. And that's what Jesus is talking about here when he's saying, reach out and touch me, experience me, hold me. You can reach out and touch its truthfulness. I'm going to finish with this. Somebody was out fishing one day in the trawler, Scottish guy, and all day was singing and pulling, and then singing hymns. And his crew members, who were Christians, at the end of the day, they got back into port and they said, "Listen, John," they said, his name was John, said, "Listen, John, how do you know that God really exists?" And John says, "Well, he's been out on the boat with us. I've been talking to him all morning." And when we've got that relationship with God, there's nothing more sure in our hearts. Reach out and touch. Amen.